Martha Plimpton has been a guest on our show quite a few times in the past, but always for her amazing work on the stage. Whether it's a play by Shakespeare or Tom Stoppard, her performances always stand out. But this time she's joining us for something completely different, a starring role in the new single-camera comedy, Raising Hope. And now, after its first season, she's just received an Emmy nomination for Outstanding Leading Actress in a Comedy. I'm delighted that it gives us a chance to welcome her back to our show. Hi.
Hi.
And welcome back to New York. Did you have to move out to L.A. to do the show?
No, thank goodness. Thank goodness. I still live here. I still make New York my home. I just go out there and I rent a little house and I do my job and then I come home when I'm done.
Did you have to buy a car?
I did buy a car. That's so funny. Yeah, I did finally. I had a car already, but it was about 20 years old. So it was time for me to buy a new car.
Well, but if you spend that much time in Los Angeles, do you ever really adjust to it? Does it ever end up feeling like home? And do you ever think, oh, this is normal when you're stuck on a freeway for a whole afternoon?
No, that's the worst part of it. It really is. I mean, listen, I as I get older, I mind the warm weather less and less, and there's nothing wrong with sitting out and having your coffee with the hummingbirds and the flowers. It's very nice. It's
and
lovely.
We've had pretty hot weather here, maybe hotter than L.A.
Maybe. I mean, I've been here most of the summer, so I've been experiencing the sweltering heat with everybody else. But, no, I mean, it's fine. Listen, I'm working all the time, so I don't have time to get bored.
Well, you have done guest appearances on series before, like that devious lawyer you play on The Good Wife. But mm-hmm. Have you ever had a series of your own?
No, this is my first time. This is my first time having a regular gig on a TV show.
And when you're in a play, there are always those problems of keeping it fresh.
Right.
Does that happen on something like this?
Well, it's curious. You know, I'm still sort of feeling it out. For example, I've never done a job and then left it and then come back and played the same character again. Do you know what I mean? So I'm going to start the second season in about 2 weeks. We're going to start up shooting again. And to be honest, I'm a little bit nervous because I'm hoping that I remember who my character is. Do you know what I mean?
You can't just trust the script?
I'm sure it'll click in the second we start working on it. But I mean, you know, that's just a new experience for me.
You can always watch old episodes.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
You play Virginia Chance, who's not only a mother, but then unexpectedly a grandmother who mm-hmm. suddenly has to help raise a child again.
Yeah.
Was there anything weird about getting used to the notion of playing a grandmother and the mother of a 24-year-old?
Can you
still play ingenue roles in the future?
I know. Well, luckily they're not like, you know, I'm not wearing a gray wig and using a cane and speaking in an old lady voice. So, you know, I'm playing my age, fortunately, which is good. And so, yeah, even though I was a little nervous about it, the truth is that's a joke. You know what I mean? That's the idea behind the show.
And you're also handling real babies while you're delivering your lines. Is that difficult?
Only in the sense that they're so cute. I mean, they're really easy babies to work with. They're really adorable. They really seem to like being around us. We bonded with them.
These are twins?
They're twins. Yeah, Bailey and Riley. And they're just the cutest things. I actually kind of miss them. I kind of can't wait to see them again. They've been growing all summer. And I've been seeing pictures of them on Twitter and stuff. And their hair's all getting all long. And I can't wait to see them again.
And The Good Wife, you've also been playing the mother of a newborn.
That's right.
Using that child to great effect in
mm-hmm.
the court.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
So
about
there's something about you and babies.
I know. I don't know what it is. I don't actually give off a very maternal vibe. But for some reason, I'm called upon to play a lot of moms.
Do they put into the contract that you can't do a lot of different shows? I was just speaking to somebody who said that she had to give up guest appearances.
Right. I think it depends on the situation. I mean, you know, these were shows that I had done before Raising Hope. And so they were characters that had been established on these other shows that in a way kind of needed to be fleshed out or wrapped up somehow. And I think that also, while I don't want to take advantage of Fox's generosity, the reality is that, you know, ultimately it is my decision. But my, you know, my employers are the ones that I have, you know, first allegiance to.
Do you feel that you have anything in common with Virginia in real life?
I think I must. I mean, I think we're both a little bit sharp around the edges, but kind of gooey on the inside, I think. I mean, there must be a reason why Greg Garcia cast me. You know what I mean?
Well, he says, by the way, he's also created My Name is Earl,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
He said that as a character, Virginia has some balls. And yeah. I hope he wasn't being literal, Martha.
Leonard.
Is much of this ad-libbed? It has that feeling.
It's good that it has that feeling. That's a testament to the quality of the writing. But no, I mean, the truth is that we shoot about 25 pages, I would say 25 to 30 pages in a five-day period. So we don't have a lot of time to mess around. And the writers work really, really hard on these scripts. So we tend to stick to them pretty closely.
But that would suggest that your theater background is a big help.
I think it is a big help. I think you're right. I mean, A, you've got that experience with working with an ensemble, and so you know how to, you know, share scenes. And then, obviously, you're also used to sort of that collaborative work process, which is really good.
Well, on a movie, you come out, you deliver a line,
right.
You go back into your trailer,
right.
Wait another 2 hours.
I think the thing that was surprising to me about working on this particular show, I don't know that it's true for all shows, but working on this, it was closer to working in the theater than I had expected it to be. I mean, the truth is that there is a level of familiarity you get with the ensemble, and then there is that kind of intense working environment that you have together that I think is closer. In some ways, it's more of an actor's medium than film is. I think it's closer to the theater in that regard.
And it always was.
Yeah.
Going back to the early days, the golden age
right.
of television.
That's right.
There was an awful lot of theater that was actually being produced,
That's
live
right.
broadcast.
That's right. That's right.
In this case, you also have Cloris Leachman, a
yes.
wonderful pro,
mm-hmm.
who plays your grandmother.
She plays my grandmother,
So this
yeah.
is two grandmothers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although in your case, your child was born when you were 15.
Right. Well, I guess the idea is I was pregnant at 15, maybe had him at 16. We've been together ever since. And now we live with our grown son who's got his baby. And then we live with our grandmother who we're taking care of, which is not dissimilar to the way a lot of Americans are living nowadays.
Although this is not a family that we would find on TV in the 1950s.
No.
It's a far cry from Leave It to Beaver.
Right.
And Father Knows Best.
That's right. That's right. I mean, they're I guess they're sort of a cross between the Clampets and, I don't know. I'm not sure. They have some Beaver-esque qualities about them. I mean, the truth is that as sort of strange and raunchy and weird as the humor can get, it comes from a very loving, decent place. You know, it's not cynical. Do you know what I mean?
But it's really about a dysfunctional family.
Right.
And that's why, despite the fact that there's this baby,
mm-hmm.
The baby's not the central focus.
No, it's funny. I mean, the focus is how this family functions and how this family gets through the sort of the hassles and tribulations and nightmares of daily life with no money. You know what I mean? That's really what the show is ultimately about. It's about those relationships.
My guest is Martha Plimpton, who stars as Virginia in Raising Hope, which is broadcast Tuesdays at 9 p.m. on Fox. She was just nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Leading Actress in a Comedy. And let's talk a bit about the man who plays your husband.
Garrett Dillahunt.
Now, here's this guy who I've seen in a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
Winter's Bone, mm-hmm. The Road, mm-hmm. No Country for Old Gentlemen.
Yeah.
he's about to be seen in John Sayles' new movie, Amigo. And
yeah.
I've seen that too.
Mm-hmm.
These would not suggest a flair for comedy.
You know, it is
depressing. Depression.
I know. They are very intense roles and intense movies. The truth is, I've rarely worked with anybody as smart and versatile as Garrett Dillahunt. I'm convinced he's going to win 14 Oscars.
But do you think that he took this role because he needed a good laugh once in a while?
It's possible. It's definitely possible. I mean, he may have taken it for the same reasons I did. I mean, I think we both wanted to have a steady gig working with people that we knew we'd learn from and enjoy being around. You know what I mean?
How do you develop a comic rhythm with somebody like that?
Well, you know what? It just got to happen, I think. I think it just
That's
has
when
to...
they talk about chemistry?
Yeah, I think it's just chemistry. I think it's just got to happen. It's not the kind of thing you can manufacture.
Well, I've always wondered about that because a review of some movie will say there was just no chemistry between the
right.
lovers. And you wonder, they're actors. Why wasn't there any chemistry?
Yeah, it is in life. You know, you're just some people you're allergic to and some people you click with, you know. And I think that's part of what Greg Garcia did so well with this show. He just really he put together a really good company.
Did you know who the other actors would be when you signed on?
Well, I knew that. I knew about Lucas Neff, the young kid who plays my son. He was the first one, I think, to be cast, although I can't be certain about that. And I did read with Garrett. He and I, you know, we all sort of read together as a family when we went into for this extremely, you know, difficult testing process, which is de rigueur for when they're casting a TV show.
But this is unusual in another way. I mentioned earlier it's shot by a single camera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aren't most comedies shot with at least three cameras?
Well,
so
they're
they can
in
get
studio.
Every angle?
They're in studio. You know, we do. There are times when we use multiple cameras on the set, but single camera doesn't necessarily mean we're only using one camera at a time. It just it means that we're shooting it basically like it's a little mini film. We're not in a studio audience situation.
You're shooting it like a documentary.
We're shooting it like not quite like a documentary. That's more like Modern Family. We're shooting it like it's like a little movie every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long are your days?
They're pretty long. I mean, you know, on average, I'd say they're about 14 hours. Yeah.
You said that you have to learn everything very quickly.
Yeah.
I'm assuming also there are little changes to the script as they go along.
Yeah, as they go along. It's not usually anything too dramatic. I mean, these writers are really solid, and they work really, really, really hard. So usually by the time we're shooting a script, it's down, you know.
You started rather young in the business, and a lot of people who start as child actors mm-hmm. become disillusioned at a certain
yeah.
point. I remember Deborah Padgett sued her parents, in fact.
Oh, yeah.
Does it ever get boring for you?
What? Does what ever get boring? Acting?
Yeah.
No, certainly not. I mean, listen, I'm in it for the work and to do have a good time and work with people that, you know, interest me and make me laugh or make me think or whatever. And so as long as I'm having a good time, and I think part of that it means that I can't really be worried and strategizing and planning too far ahead, you know. I just kind of try and take it as it comes, you know what I mean?
How old were you when you started?
I was about 8. Mm-hmm.
Unlike many of those others, your parents were mm-hmm. professionals as well. So
yeah.
It wasn't – they weren't living through you.
No,
and they
were not.
And they didn't depend
certain.
On you for
no.
to pay the mortgage.
No, they didn't. No,
because
no.
that's another reason that a lot of kid actors get upset.
Right.
They feel that they were just forced to grow up too soon.
Yeah, I think that that's maybe true for many of them. And that's an unfortunate reality. I mean, you know, that's – I think that's why we're lucky with the kids that we've got on the show. I mean, that is a constant concern, I think, for our creator is making sure that these kids are happy. Because if they're not happy, then they shouldn't be there. You know?
It's my feeling that child actors are better now than they've ever been.
Oh.
You look at a movie from the 30s and the kids are all talking,
right.
Gee whiz,
right.
Mr. Jones.
But
and,
some of those
and now they all sound like they, yeah, they all sound like they studied with Stella Adler and at the Actor's Studio and they're 6 and 7 years
so?
Old.
You know what I just watched the other night again for like the 8,000th time because I love it so much is The Black Stallion. Do you remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that kid who was in that, Kelly Reno, how fantastic he was, how natural and sort of made for the part he was. That was in 1979. I think it's one of the most affecting performances by a kid ever.
So you were, you said 7 or 8?
8, yeah, I was 8.
What role did you play?
Well, I did a workshop of The Runaways it was like a film workshop of this musical by Elizabeth Suedos. And then right after that, when I was 9, I did a production, her play called The Haggadah, which was a musical about, you know, Passover, and did that with puppets by Julie Taymor, and it was a really cool show, and that was my first, you know, full-length play.
You started with Julie Taymor before she made acting dangerous.
No, she's brilliant. I mean, she had made these extraordinary shadow puppets for the show. I remember that. It was absolutely gorgeous.
Did your mother, Shelley Plimpton, give you any advice?
I remember she did not give me very much advice. I mean, the truth is she was not that committed to me being an actress. I mean, what she did say to me one time I will never forget is when I was 8 years old and I was on stage doing my first play. And we had done a run through, and it was in rehearsal. And she came up to me afterwards, and I, you know, asked her, how was it? And she said, "Baby, you were great. She could not have been more supportive." And then she said, "But just remember, you're still acting even when you're not talking." I mean, that's good advice.
Mm-hmm. That's listening.
You're still in the play even when you're not talking.
Stay in the character,
that's
she was
right.
telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was good advice at a very early age.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And you don't have to remind yourself of that anymore,
you? Know what? It's a constant process, Lenny. You can't, slack.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stay sharp.
You've described yourself as an optimist with a pessimist vocabulary.
Yeah.
So where did that come from?
I don't know. Maybe it's growing up in New York. Maybe, I don't know, growing up with the family I grew up with, my extended family. Maybe it's a New York thing,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, it's like somebody from another part of the country asks, how are things? You say, not bad. They say, what's wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
New Yorkers
exactly.
will say, not bad.
Like, not bad, yeah, and everybody knows what they mean, yeah.
Do you miss being in a play?
I do. I do. And I think that I will try to do that after this next coming season. I was a little bit shocked at how tired I was at the end of shooting this first season of the show. I had really no idea kind of how wiped out I was going to be just physically. You know what I mean?
And so, that doesn't happen in a play because you're doing.
No, you've got three, you're working basically on stage 3-4 hours a night. And so you've got all day to recover, and but with
and there are also rhythms, aren't there?
There
natural
are rhythms,
rhythms
natural.
Whereas this, every time it's different,
it's
there's
different.
A lot of stress.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, the truth is I'm generally at work on Mondays by 5 a.m., and I don't get home usually till Saturday morning at 5 a.m. So that's, it's tiring.
There's another odd connection here. Lucas Neff, mm-hmm. you mentioned, your co-star. Trained at Steppenwolf?
Yeah, he trained at the school School of Steppenwolf. Exactly.
And you were recently honored by Steppenwolf this past March.
They were very sweet. They came. They invited me to come and have a sort of luncheon with them and with their sort of women in leadership luncheon. It was really nice. It was lovely.
What am I to make of the fact that despite you having been in over 30 movies, mm-hmm. everything from The Goonies to The Mosquito Coast, in dozens of television shows, countless theater productions, you say that you've never been ambitious,
yeah.
that you're disorganized, undisciplined, and unfocused.
Right. It's true. It's true. I mean, I think part of the reason why, you asked me before if I wasn't bored, and I think part of the reason why I'm not bored is because I'm not particularly goal-oriented. I don't... I like having a career that has variety, that has, that's open. You know what I mean? I like to be open in my career and in my work. And that's, if I have any goal at all, it's just to stay open. You know what I mean?
Well, it helps that you're a really good actor.
Thank you.
Because that's why you keep on being cast in things.
Thank you. It also might just be, I think there's a, even when you're not so good in something, which I have been plenty of times, there are plenty of performances of mine that I am not at all happy with. But I think if you maintain sort of a willingness to enjoy yourself, it makes all the difference. And people maybe get a good vibe off of that and they want to work with you again.
When you talk about performances you're not happy with, are you talking about being in a play and never getting the character, or are you talking about a movie where you just didn't have enough time to figure out what the
character? All of the above, not every performance can you be thrilled with, for sure, and I'm definitely hard on myself, too.
I think
when I was a kid, too, I didn't know what the heck I was doing, you know what I mean? So I watched some of my performances from when I was a teenager. I just go, oh, my God.
Yeah, but everybody's that way.
Yeah, of course.
We're our toughest judges.
Right.
You were in the staging of Company at Lincoln Center this spring.
That's right.
And Stephen Colbert.
I know.
Was
played
your husband?
My husband. I know.
How good is he as an actor?
He's phenomenal. I think Stephen Colbert is one of the greatest entertainers of our time. I mean, I think he is, first of all, he's on fire. He's just got energy to burn. He's so smart. He is just razor sharp smart. So funny. And just talk about openness. I mean, that guy is just wide open to the world.
And he can sing?
Yes, he sang beautifully. He did great. And he taught me a lot of really good, some acrobatics we did together. We did some karate together. I mean, I've never gotten so close to a total stranger before that quickly in my life.
And each couple in the musical had matching costumes.
Right.
You and Colbert were the most notably 1970s.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that a bit of typecasting as well?
I don't know. I mean, that's when the show takes place, right? It takes place in like 1970. So we're sort
He wore plaid golf trousers.
He wore golf trousers, and I wore a kind of weird sort of Paisley-esque kind of caftanny type thing.
So you're going to be doing that as a regular production?
No, we that was part of the New York Philharmonic's annual gala, and so we did four performances of that as a benefit for them, and then it was filmed and it showed in movie theaters across the country.
Because often those encore things wind up being moved to Broadway,
right? But this wasn't quite an encore thing, and it was just kind of a special thing with the New York Phil.
Martha Plimpton is now starring as Virginia in Raising Hope. She has been nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Leading Actress in a Comedy. The show is broadcast Tuesdays at 9 p.m. on Fox. The first show
in the new season. It's September 20th.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being with us
again. Thank you, Leonard.